You're listening to Up Your Game, a weekly show designed to turn dreams into goals and goals into reality. Here's your host, entrepreneur and content creator, De Niro B.
What's going on, Game Changers? De Niro B here with another episode of Up Your Game. Now, before we dive into the content and we're going to start dropping some value bombs, wanted to ask you to please subscribe to this podcast. If you haven't done that already, it helps me and it helps you stay on top of all the new episodes that we release every single week. Also, if you haven't, please share this podcast with your friends. It's important because if you're on the rise, you want your friends to be on the same page as you are. You don't want them to slow you down, but most importantly, you want to help your circle grow with you. All right, so let's get started.
What is going on, Game Changers? De Niro B here with another episode of Up Your Game. For today's interview series, I'm here with Grant Farr. Grant is a mental sports performance consultant focusing on high impact and combat sports. With his podcast called 90% Mental, he promotes awareness around mental performance by interviewing athletes and coaches where they can share their stories and perspectives on sports psychology. He's also the author of The Next One Up Mindset, How to Prepare for the Unknown, where he talks about proven mental performance strategies to align the mind and body, including breathing techniques, visualizations, positive affirmations, mantras, goal setting, and more. Buckle up because this is going to be an exciting episode. How are you doing, Grant?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Not bad at all. So as I said, I'm super excited, but before we get into the questions, man, I want to ask you a few questions about, or one question about how you got started in the sports world and what made you want to become a consultant?
Well, getting involved in the sports world started when I was about seven. So I was actually fortunate to grow up in the 80s and the 90s where specialization wasn't really a thing. It was all about playing tons of different sports. So playing baseball, basketball, football, soccer, track, I did all of it. After years of refining my craft as an athlete, my passion and my mindset was getting pulled towards football. So I ended up playing football for about 13 years and played quarterback. And, long story short, I had a career-ending injury in college to my left hip. So that left me in a bad place for about two decades. And so I had two hip replacements before I was 40 on the same hip, and one of them left me about handicapped for about 4 years. So that whole experience going through all that led me to redesign who I was and reconnect that warrior mindset, and it allowed me to get into sports psychology. So I went back to school and got my master's in sports psychology, and then for the last 5 years, I've been a mental performance coach ever since then.
Awesome. It must have been hard when you had that first injury, I'm assuming. So a lot of it was psychology. You had to deal with psychology first, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah, the thing that upset me and frustrated me for years, and I didn't do the work on it for, it took me a long time to get to the point to do the work. When you love a game so much, and especially when you're a quarterback, there's so many things that you deal with and also you get from being in that role. Your ego gets stroked a lot, but you also get to do cool things as a leader. So when you're pushed out of the sport that you love, like I didn't have a chance to say goodbye to it. My body was saying, it's time for you to quit this. And I was frustrated. And I had, those 13 years of playing football, that my worst season I had was my last season. So it left a bad taste in my mouth, and I didn't know how to let go of it. And all I was doing was just suppressing all this anger and frustration about the sport I loved. And I hated this sport after a while. Everybody wanted to talk about, hey, let's talk about the touchdowns you threw. And remember the time when we broke records together? I'm like, no, I don't want to talk about it. I'm done with it. So it took me a long time to kind of be good with it. And I'm glad I went through all that. Like those two decades were tough for me, but I'm glad for it. I learned a lot of lessons.
Listen, I have been coaching entrepreneurs for several years now, and the more I work with them, the more I realize how sports and business performance are closely related. Do you think that today's coaches and athletes are giving the right amount of attention to the psychology aspect of performance, or they're too much focused on physical performance?
You know, it's a great question because, you know, growing up as an athlete myself and also being a coach, but there was a lot of old school mentalities back in the day. I can say that now that I'm 46, but I believe, to answer your question, I believe today there's more of a focus on mindset and hearing the athlete and coaching the heart and the mind of the athlete. I think we're heading in the right direction. We're not where we need to be per se. I think there's certain teams, there's certain cultures, and there's certain sports that are there. When you look at Major League Baseball, I mean, when you look at besides the Olympics, but Major League Baseball is doing an incredible amounts of great work of just making sure they have a lot of people on staff, not only taking care of the baseball players, but taking care of all of the organization top down. So it's pretty cool. So I think we're heading in the right direction. And I think we're ridding and getting rid of the old school mentalities of just, you got to be tough it out, rub some dirt on it. You know, I don't care how you feel right now. Just play the sport, do your job. I think we're getting away from that. I think it's still there a little bit, but I think the education and just having a lot of awareness around mental performance is heading in the right direction.
Awesome. What did I ask you? I've seen sports, of course, since I was a little kid, and I'm in mid-30s right now, and I've seen people breaking records. And then a few years later, new players come to the same sport and they break new records. And do you think that part of the reason why we're getting always better is because there is more attention to psychology and the mindset that comes with training, or is also because the training sessions are just generally getting better and people know more about them?
I think that's actually a great question, because I think it's a little bit of everything. I think we're optimizing the body and the mind. We have more data now. We didn't have data 25, 30 years ago like we do now. So I think we're not only, we have more data, there's better technology. So we're advancing, improving at a faster rate, allowing these athletes to actually to be better next week, next month, next year. So they can, you know, beat their best record or the world record. So yeah, I think it's a great question. I think it's all of the above. I think we're just utilizing all this data and technology right now to advance our athletes.
That makes sense. I've been fascinated with high performance in just any field, again, especially in business in my case. But when it comes to sports, when you can see someone's performance right in front of you, right? You know, I'm from Italy. I live in Canada, but I'm from Italy. And, you know, soccer is a big thing here. Calcio, they call it here. So my question to you is, can you tell me, in your experience, what makes a great athlete, you know, the very good one, the ones that stand out from the rest of the crowd?
Man, there's so many different things that makes up the makeup of an athlete, especially an elite athlete. So what comes up for me are a few things. I think when an athlete is intentional, when they know their intention, they're connecting with their intention every day, when they're vulnerable, when they're allowing themselves to be vulnerable with their play. And I think when you get to the core of being an athlete, especially at the elite level, man, it's all about focus. Like that's the core of it. Like, cause you're going to get out of focus. So how do we actually get into focus? When we get out of focus, how do we get the self-awareness kicked in so we can get back into focus, especially when it's chaotic? And then literally when you're out of your sport, when you're away from the field, and I'm talking about soccer or football, if you're an elite athlete, you have all these other distractions and all these things pulling at you. So how are you going to stay focused? And when you get out of focus, how do you get back into focus? Then when it's time to return to the field, how do you get focused again? So there's, I think, being intentional, being vulnerable, definitely having a relationship with your breath. If you want to be present, that's where greatness lies. If you want to be excellent, it only happens here in the now, not in the future, not in the past. You got to have a relationship with your breath, because that gets you right in the here and the now, where your feet are. They have a great saying, be where your feet are. So if athletes can do that and learn how to focus and refocus, then I think that's kind of the fabric of an elite athlete.
Awesome. I do want to talk about being in the moment and being present a bit later in the episode, but I wanted to ask you something about, you said that people need to be vulnerable. Is that what you said? Can you explain to me what you mean by being vulnerable?
Yeah. So there is an expert named Brené Brown. I don't know if you're familiar with her, but in short, I'll take all of her research and I'll squeeze it into one sentence. You know, basically when you're vulnerable, you're being courageous. And then when you're being courageous, you're being brave. And when you look at that word, I think from a society standpoint, we've kind of deemed that word as that weak, like when you're vulnerable at a vulnerable state. And I think now that we've had it, we've reframed it and looked at it differently, that when you're being vulnerable, you're being courageous, and you're being courageous, you're being brave. So it's allowing yourself to try things on, be vulnerable, get rid of the fear, lean into it, and move through it for the most part, and be vulnerable. Now, here's another way of being vulnerable with your play. So there's one thing about trying things on and being vulnerable and trusting yourself. But when you're in your and you're in the middle of a game, let's say a basketball player, and your shot's off, let's say that you've missed 8 in a row. So you're 0-for-8. So the ball's in your hand again. Are you going to be vulnerable in that moment to trust yourself and shoot it again? Or are you going to be scared, and are you going to like be in the effect of fear and the thought of failing and throwing the ball to someone else? So that's where I think where athletes can trust themselves, especially like when you're thinking about athletes have been dedicating a lot to their craft or their elite, they have put in reps. I mean, they have put in a lot of time into their craft. So trust it. You're not going to be perfect. You are going to actually miss a fair amount of shots, but you got to show up in the moment, be vulnerable with your shot, even when it's off.
That makes total sense. So now that you reframed it, that makes sense, because in order for you to be vulnerable, you got to put yourself out there. If you don't put yourself out there, you are safe. But again, safe from what at the end of the day? Makes total sense. The majority of my listeners are actually young professionals or new entrepreneurs trying to make things happen in their life. But most of them struggle with mental toughness and discipline. You know, the alarm clock goes off at 5 a.m. and they plan on waking up at the right time, but then they just hit the snooze button for 2 hours. So if you have to give them 2 tips straight from the sports world that they can use in their everyday life, what would they be?
Oh, man. Well, I've already said it, I believe. And I only say that because I spent 17 years in corporate America, and I've worked for, you know, $6 billion, $8 billion companies down to startups. So there's been moments where I've thrived in my career, and there was times where I didn't. And there was times where I saw a tendency of me hitting the snooze button, me just showing up to work and hoping everything goes well and having, you know, waiting for someone to tell me what to do. Man, that place to me sucks. Like to hope that if I'm performing a role, I don't want to hope. I want to know. I want to believe. I know I can, right? I am a great salesperson. I can let it rip today. I can control my energy. Like there's all these different ways of talking. So I literally call it champion talk. I don't care if it's in the workplace or if it's in athletics. I think the way that we talk to ourselves, not listen to ourselves, but talk to ourselves is huge. So that's one thing. Have a relationship with your inner dialogue. Strengthen that up. Be aware that when you start getting negative thoughts and self-doubt and worry, nobody's going to change that narrative. It's you. So if you are going to perform and you want to be great, then in the moment, you got to have different language. So that's one. The other thing, I'm always going to say breath. Man, like get into your breath. When you have your, this is what I always say. When you have your breath, you have your mind. And when you have your mind, you have your body. And once you get into that deep breath, and then you do another one, another two behind it, you are locking in your body. You're locking that whole process real quick. That mind, the body, and the breath are boom, they're clicked in. Now you can make the best decision for yourself. So that'd be one thing. Have a relationship with your breath. And I mean, when I mean that, do it about 3 to 5, 7 times a day where you're actually breathing 2 or 3 conscious breaths, like get into it, push workout, relationships, bills, everything, get into your breath and then let it go and then move on. Because there's going to be a time, a stressful situation is going to come up, an unexpected, the unknown is going to face you at work. So how are you going to deal with that in the present moment with your breath? You got to get into your breath. And I'd also say, you know your intentions, set your intentions. But if you're a snoozer, if you want to hit that button a lot, man, what I want you to do is set your intentions the night before. So you're sleeping on the intentions. And then when you wake up, connect it with your breath for 30 seconds, 60 seconds, and then revisit your intention in the middle of the day. am I actually living my intention right now? And then reflect on it at the end of the day. Once you can do that, then you can realize the kind of mindset that you had throughout the whole day. So I call it, I always say intention equals mindset. You want a mindset, set your intentions, and then be about it.
This episode is brought to you by Phoenix Planner at phoenixplanner.com. I've been using the Phoenix Planner for 3 months now, and as soon as I started using it, I dropped every other productivity tool I was using. The Phoenix Planner lets me set my 3 to 5 year goal, then it breaks that down into a yearly one. Now, once the big picture is complete, it makes you set 4 quarterly goals, and that's when the real planning starts. Phoenix Planner allows you to schedule weekly, daily, and monthly tasks. It has a monitoring system for tracking your habits, and it works as a journal too. On the daily pages, you can write down your focus and what you're grateful for. Now, remember that gratitude is the key to keeping yourself grounded and in control every day. There are also slots for rating your performance and giving yourself feedback. In a nutshell, the Phoenix Planner is the ultimate planner if you want to take your life and business to the next level. Visit phoenixplanner.com to get 20% off your order. Apply the code PHOENIXDEN at checkout. That is PHOENIXDEN for 20% off your order. And now, let's get back to the episode.
Honestly, it's very interesting because I do talk about meditating early in the morning for even like 5 minutes to just find out what your center is, so that when you are during the day, something happens and you feel like your heart's beating too fast or your hands are getting sweaty or your body feels tense, you realize that right away and you're like, hey, there's something off, almost like a thermostat. Right. I wanted to, ask you, and I'm always looking for inspiring stories to bring to my audience. So looking back at your career as a consultant, can you tell me a story of someone that literally started from the bottom when you started working with them and what they did in order to bring their life and their career to the next level by applying the points that we just talked about or other things as well?
Yeah, great question, because there's someone that immediately comes to mind. When I say my prior life, when I, I've been doing this full time. And so about over 5 years ago, I moved out of corporate life. And I worked for a company called Wesco, which was one of the largest electrical and data center distributors in the world. And so it was a really cool experience that my boss, Trino Ramirez, man, younger guy, younger than me, but he... Man, he was one of the best bosses. He was incredible. And what I mean that is that right when he graduated from high school, he got this job in this industry in being a distributor, and he started off in the warehouse. And he learned the warehouse. And what I mean he learned the warehouse, to this day, he's been doing it for 20, 25 years now. He can tell you bar scan codes from product that's actually not even here anymore. He remembered everything. He knew how to do everything. He knew every job within the warehouse. And then he moved into inside sales rep. And then he went from the inside sales rep to an outside sales rep. And then he went to a branch management role. And then now he's running a whole massive company from a purchasing and warehouse perspective. And it's a massive company here in the Bay Area. But his, not only the way he attacks his approach, like the way he actually does everything, it's all in service. So like he can juggle a ton of stuff, but if you need help, he'll do it in a second. And his heart for teaching, his heart for supporting and being in service is the best I've ever seen it. Like if I could ever have him a part of my company, I would, because he's it. He's got the it factor. And he comes to mind where he literally dedicated himself to this industry from the ground all the way up. I mean, the next level for him is to be an owner, is to be a CEO. And he has it.
So like when we talk about mantras, because, I talk to my listeners about mantras and goal setting, and I use an agenda where I write down my goals and I write them down every single day. But everybody, has a different routine. So if we were to talk about visualizations, positive affirmations, mantras, and goal setting, how do they fit in someone's busy schedule? I'm talking about someone that may be working full time and also is running a side hustle or they're starting a business. How can they put all these, you know, things in their schedule without getting overwhelmed? How would you suggest they do it?
Well, the beautiful thing about all these strategies and techniques, they're used interchangeably for many different things. But so for the first thing that I wouldn't do is try to like implement everything that I know into someone so they have all these tools right off the bat and they're trying to fit all of it. No, I wouldn't do that. I would understand what is the need, like what is that, what's your hang up? What's something that you truly wanna, what stops you? Mm-hmm. Throughout the day. And then whatever that is, then I would actually explore certain techniques that I believe that would help them. And it's my job for them to understand which ones connect the best with them. So for me, like, let's just say mantra. Cause I think when you're an entrepreneur, there's multiple times throughout the day where you have to speak and you have to show up in the moment, you know, and you have to like get prepared mentally. And I'm only speaking for myself because I spoke in front of a big crowd yesterday, and I spent a long time. I used to be a great speaker. I mean, I feel like I'm okay now, but back in the day, I felt like I love speaking, especially in a workplace setting. And so when I lost that, I actually gained it by actually creating mantras. And so my mantra that I say every time I speak in front of anybody, small group to a large, even if I'm working with a team on a weekly basis and I already know who they are, I still say the same mantras at least 3 to 4, 5 times every time. And my mantras, I always say this to myself, is that I get to do this. They want to hear me and tap into your joy. And I say that, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 times. And I'll tell you what, I'm not thinking about what they're going to think or if I'm going to screw up or self-doubt or fear, worry. I'm getting locked in. And so I do that all the time. So I think when you're thinking about an entrepreneur that's, you know, that communicates and that leads, that I'd work on mantras, but I want to make sure what's best for the client, what's best for them in their process.
For sure. For sure. Mantras are very interesting because they basically replace those negative thoughts that you have in your mind. So if you kind of like start thinking about something else and you repeat it out loud, or at least in your mind, you kind of have no room for self-doubt and all that negative energy. So I do use it every morning as well. So that's pretty cool. Listen, what are you currently working on? Anything exciting coming up? Maybe another book that you're writing or any other projects that it's worth sharing?
Yeah, you know, that's the cool thing where I'm at in my life. I feel like when I got into being a mental performance coach, I dedicated not only being in service, but to play a big game. And what that means to me is probably different from anybody else, which it should be. But man, it's just doing a lot of cool stuff, a lot of projects. So, you know, yes, I do have a mental performance podcast called 90% Mental. But I recently interviewed a really, really cool quarterback that played when I grew up. His name's Jake Plummer, and him and I are starting our own podcast series on my show. So we've already had a couple episodes recorded. We're actually recording 2 more today. So that's kind of a fun project to not only to do it with someone who I looked up to, but I mean, this guy's he's an all-pro quarterback, and he's in the College Hall of Fame. The guy's he's just had awesome energy. So that makes it really cool too, right? I would say another book is in me. I just released my first one about 8 months ago. So I'm still with that. I still want to be with it before I kind of start changing my energy path towards another book. But I kind of know what I want to write about. And then there's a couple other companies I'm doing a lot of video content for. So trainthemind.com is a company that is kind of like Peloton, but it's for mental skills trainers. So you can kind of go on to your computer and find the instructor that you want to get trained with, you know, as far as mental skills go. And there's also another company called Elite Athletes TV, where they do something similar, but it's more technical and also mental skills driven video content for all different kinds of sports.
Mm-hmm. What type of mental skills training do they do? Like what would that be? And what can you expect once you go on one of these websites?
So more or less with Train the Mind, it's everything you can think of. And so there's different instructors will have a different framework. So like for me, I'm specifically talking about the next one up mindset. So a lot of the techniques from my book, but a lot of that stuff is interchangeable. So yes, I'm talking to you with the mental skills of, you know, visualization and breathing. And I do this thing called MVPs, meditate, visualization, and powerful self-talk. So I teach you stuff like that, right? But this is all the stuff that you can teach yourself and take into the workplace, take into your relationships, take into life. So yes, it's under the framework of the next one up and being prepared for the unknown, but it helps you outside of that. So, and there's other instructors that have different playing present, how to lead yourself. And so, and there's all these mental skills that follow those topics or that framework.
Listen, man, this was an amazing conversation, and I'm sure that my listeners would probably want to check you out. So where can people find you and your book, actually?
Awesome. So you can find me on my website, which is gamefaceperformance.com. You can also, all my content's there. If you want to check out my podcast, 90% Mental, it is also on my website, but it's on every single podcast platform out there as well. My book, you can buy it on my website or Amazon, which is The Next One Up Mindset, How to Prepare for the Unknown. If you want to follow me on IG and Twitter, it's the same handle, which is GFP Mindset, stands for Game Face Performance. So it's GFP Mindset. LinkedIn, you can just find me by my name, Grant Parr. Facebook, you can find me under Game Face Performance. And I'm starting to do a little bit more on YouTube. So you can find me as Game Face Performance on YouTube.
Awesome. Grant, thank you so much for being here with us today. And I'm looking forward to having you back once you write your second book and we'll have another amazing conversation.
Beautiful. Right, thank you so much.
No problem. Bye.
And this is it for today, Game Changers. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe to the podcast and you will be the very first person to know when we release new episodes. Also, do not forget to leave a review. It literally takes a minute. It makes my day brighter. And if you send me a screenshot for a limited time on Instagram or by email, you will get a free 15-minute coaching call worth $50. Thank you so much, and I'll see you in the next episode.